Savages, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. First off, it's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple, Google, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Trust me, people, you're going to love it. Thank you. Welcome to the Savage Empire. I'm your host, Mike Trainer, and boy, was that something, huh? Aaron Judge, Jesus Christ, that guy's an animal. He's a fucking savage in that box, I'll tell you. Jesus Christ, was there any doubt? I mean, honestly, when he got up there in the eighth inning, was there any doubt that he was going to blast that one out? And boy, did he blast that one out. Oof, that was a no-doubter. Jesus Christ. But before we get to that, and we will talk more about that, the Yankees did, in fact, sweep the Boston Red Sox. Oh, God, just saying that feels good, doesn't it? Any way we can beat up on Boston and just kick a mother down is a beautiful thing. It should feel like this every day, shouldn't it? Just the knowing how much better we are than these people, how they're just beneath us, peasants, so to speak. Oh, I know, sorry, I'm not poor shaming them like, you know, Gary Sheffield Jr. likes to poor shame people, but, you know, I meant that in baseball literal terms. They're just not anywhere near the level of the Yankees. That's what I mean. Clarify, don't want to poor shame, don't want to be Gary Sheffield Jr., who, you know, serves no purpose and, you know, got money from his daddy. So, you know, whatever. He's a loser. Anyway, beating up on the Red Sox is just, it's great. It just feels good. Tomorrow morning, it's going to be feeling, everybody's going to wake up with a little extra bounce in their step. Being that we're 7-1 now. Best team in baseball, walking on air, it's great, I know I'm going to wake up feeling great tomorrow, that's for sure. But let's see how we got here. Let's go to game one, the return of Monty. Big start for him. He was looking good all spring and all summer. A little zip on the fastball, he's up to 95 now, which is pretty damn good, since the Tommy John. Pitched pretty good. Got pretty deep in the game. Judge hit a home run, third in three games. Two-run shot. Gio had a solo shot to make it 3-1. Gardner had a two-run shot in the eighth, make it 5-1. Monty pitched 5 2/3, 5 hits, 1 earned, 4 Ks. Pretty damn good for basically not pitching a little bit more in a year and a half. Well, you know, he pitched a little bit last year, but they don't count. They were tune-up games with a couple innings each start that he had. Garbage. But he looked really good and really sharp. And if he can keep that going this year, he's going to be somebody to rely on, because as we'll get into it with Paxton and his start tonight, but we're not there yet, but we'll get into that too. And Hap, who we're not happy with at all, and we'll get into that too. Because there's just better options out there. And I don't know how much longer and what kind of a leash Boone is going to give these guys. But, yep, Yankees won the first game 5-1. Pretty much from beginning to end dominated by the Yanks. No stress. Game two, Tanaka time. Tanaka activated off the DL, sorry, the IL. To make room for him, they DFA'd Iannetta, which was kind of a surprise, but then again, not really, I guess. Oh no, sorry. They got rid of Iannetta to get to bring Monty back up. Canely, who is going to need Tommy John surgery, and we wish him the best, and we're all big Tommy fans, and we love him. We love that he's like a cheerleader for the Yankees and the intensity he brings. And, you know, I just want to say before I get back to the scores, we just, you know, hoping for a speedy recovery. Take your time. Come back at some point ready to go next year. Hopefully the Yankees will bring him back. I know they have to make a decision whether they can tender him a contract or not. I think this is his last eligible year, probably for around the same amount of money. But I kind of hope they do bring him back just because I feel like I never like seeing fan favorites leave on an injury. So hopefully they will be able to find a way to bring him back. So good luck, Canely. Okay, back to the game. Tanaka's back. Apparently he was on a pitch count. I don't think anybody knew that going in. I guess we should have. He wasn't really stretched out at all since Stanton almost took his head off. So Tanaka, 2 2/3 inning pitch, 4 hits, 1 earned, 3 Ks. I don't know if anybody else noticed it, but I noticed that he was routinely getting his fastball up to 94 miles an hour. I don't ever recall him throwing 94 consistently before, maybe here and there. He's usually around 91, 92. Fastball is not his best pitch. It's usually to set up the splitter. He can't get outs with it, obviously, but definitely not his best pitch. But I guess probably getting it up to 94 miles an hour because he didn't really have to hold back. He was on a pitch count, so he was able to let it fly. But if he can do that consistently, I think he's going to get really good results off of that. 94 mile an hour really makes a big difference compared to what his usual 91, 92 is. And it's just a 2 mile difference, but he can throw a sneaky fastball by some people and really catch some people off guard. So that's something I want to see him continue to do. Next start, he should be able to get up to, I think Boone said they really like to get him up to about 80 pitches. So I think after that, then he'll be ready to go. I don't think there's really too much of concern. It's just a matter of him getting into work right now. Judge homered again, 4th straight game. Gio Urshela, the most happy fella. Oh, he's the most happy fella. A grand slam. Blew it open. Nick Nelson made his major league debut. Pitched 3 scoreless, hitless innings. 4 Ks. Got the win. Really, that's about it. He looked great. That's another kid that's going to be something. Keep him up if they can figure out a way to keep him up. You know, maybe he takes over for Canely in the pen now. I don't know what kind of moves they're going to make soon, but when the roster has to be trimmed down, my guess is he'll probably get sent back down because Sesso will be coming back up. Chapman's got to get activated. And so there's going to be cuts being made. There's going to be more people going down than coming up soon. So I wish they can keep it at 30. If there's a way for the major league office to say, you know what, with all these recent COVID tests coming up, they should maybe keep the rosters expanded just because, you know, it's easier to get people in the lineup if one or two people go down right away. But I guess it doesn't really matter when they're canceling whole games and testing everybody for, you know, a week at a time. This whole goddamn thing's messed up. But, hey, you know what? Keep it the hell away from us right now because we're rolling. We're rolling. The Phillies are coming in. They haven't played in a week. And we're just, you know, hopefully we keep that going. They're rust. Don't even, you know, no slowing down. All right, game three of the sweep. Judge, 3-run shot. 5 home runs in 5 straight games. Unreal. He is locked in. Definition of locked in. Yanks down 5-3 in the third. Sanchez, RBI double. Gio, RBI double. Yanks tie it. Now they're down 6-5 going into the fifth. Voit ties it up with a nice bullet shot down the line. Really, I was surprised he got a hold of that one and actually kept it fair. That was nice. That was fair by a pretty good distance once the camera showed it. This game went back and forth again. Down 7-6 going into the eighth. Sockman comes in for defensive replacement over Andujar. We're going to talk about that in a second. He ends up walking. Steals second. His third stolen base already. And the guy barely plays. And we're going to talk about that too. LeMahieu does LeMahieu things. Hits an oppo single to right. Sockman comes in to score. Game is tied. And Mr. Excitement is up. And he serves a death sentence with a bomb to left field. I believe they said 468 feet. I might be short. I don't know. Am I the only one who thinks these things are longer than what they actually tell us? I don't know how they measure these things, but Jesus Christ, did he tattoo that ball. There was no doubt about it. He heard a whole bench explode. God, I just wish the crowd was there. That would have made a whole lot of difference, too. Unbelievable. Just unbelievable. He is so locked in. And he's carrying us right now offensively. Can't get him enough. Can't get him up enough in these big at-bats. Unbelievable. Let's talk about Andujar. Andujar got the start and left today. I believe he had, let's go to box score, 0-3. I guess he had to walk because he scored. So, 0-3. He's batting 125. Gardner, I don't know what he's batting right now. It's low two. And Talkman, who's actually hitting, he's batting 333 so far. 3 stolen bases. Talkman can play every outfield position. But we need to talk about how there is just too much of a rotation going on here. And I know Boone is trying to, he wants to keep Stanton at DH right now because there's really no reason to put him out there. At this point, I mean, why risk it? And I know they want to get Andujar in the lineup, but you need to commit one way or the other to one of these guys. Now, they don't want Gardner batting against lefties because he's not good against lefties. Talkman is left-handed, so they probably don't want him out there against lefties either. So it's Andujar, but if he's splitting time, and he's not starting every day, because he can hit lefty or righty. He's just not hitting. His one hit, or at least the one hit I can remember, was basically a dribbler that he beat out. That's what I can remember. I mean, he needs to get more at-bats. If he's going to be the guy, then he needs to play. And then that means Gardner needs to ride the bench, come in as a defensive replacement or a pinch runner, and it sucks for Talkman. But if they really want to get Andujar the at-bats, then he needs to be in there every day. I don't know what else to say because this you can overlook this stuff now while they're winning, while they're 7-1, they're on a roll, everything looks good. But you have to look at these underlining things because this is going to be an issue. All right, pay attention to this because you know we're all riding the high right now. Literally, it's 11:05 right now. They just won dramatically. I mean, it wasn't a walk-off, but damn near close to sweep this, you know, bum of a team out of the town. but we need to look at our flaws. And this three-man rotation they got going in there, because Talkman comes in for defensive replacement. And then, you know, they're moving LeMahieu to first. They're taking Voit out and putting in Tyler Wade. And they're trying to tighten down their defense, which is fine. I have no problem with that. But I feel like if they really want to get Miggy's bat in there, because his bat is electric, then he needs to play more. Personally, me, if it was me, I think, honestly, I'd rather see Talkman out there. I think he's a much better player than what they give him credit for. Obviously, you can see what he does when he gets on base. He'll steal a bag, which was very important tonight. He can walk, he has a good eye, and he plays outstanding defense. He's much better than Gardner out in left or center. But where does that put Andujar then? Because Stanton is DH, and he's basically our full-time DH. Now, if you're going to put Stanton in the outfield, then, you know, obviously Miggy could DH. Talkman will ride the bench. Gardner will be off that day. I just don't know. We're so loaded, this team, that there's no spot for some of these guys who could start on any other team. Talkman can probably start on any other team, or at least most teams in the league. He could definitely start on this team. Andujar, with his bat, can start on any team. Defensively, he's a liability. He booted that one and left on a ball that was basically like a ground ball. It just hopped over his glove because he misplayed it. And that's going to happen. He's learning the position. I'm not trying to kill him on it. But when you got a three-man rotation going on, every little error counts. Every little error counts. Every little flub counts. When you're not hitting, that counts. These things count against you. Honestly, who's the better player out of the three right now? And I know there's people out there that will die on the hill of Brett Gardner. And there are people out there who will die on the hill of Miguel Andujar. And there's even some people out there that will die on the hill of Mike Talkman. And I know I sound like I'm going to die on the hill of Mike Talkman, because that's the guy I'm going with. I'd rather see him out there. Because it's not always about scoring runs. Sometimes it's about preventing runs. And when he can hit and play defense, and don't get me wrong, he can hit. All right? He's not Miguel Andujar hitting, you know, or at least the mystique of Andujar, because he only had that one good year and he was hurt last year, and we don't know what he is right now, because he's not hitting. He looks like his swing is long. He's mistiming his swings. I mean, he just looks lost in the plate. I don't know what's going on. Maybe, you know, but giving him days off isn't going to help. So you either play him or you sit him, or you decide, like, if he's not going to help the team, maybe you can trade him for something you do need. I don't want to see them trade him, just like I don't want to see them trade Clint Frazier, who's rotting away in Scranton, waiting for his opportunity. I don't have all the answers. I can only make suggestions. I don't think you guys have the answers, and I'm pretty sure the Yankees don't have the answers, obviously, with a three-man rotation in left field. Boone is doing the best job he can. It's not easy when you got quality talent and not enough positions to play them. So that's the big question. So we need to, you know, think about that. The next thing is, what are we going to do with Paxton? I think he got his pitch up to 93 today, his fastball. He didn't look good again. Booney says that Paxton's telling him he feels good, but at this point, are you going by what he's saying? Because I'll tell you what, he's getting an MRI if I'm the coach. If I'm Cashman or Boone, motherfucker's getting an MRI on his back and his shoulder, wherever the hell you want to get an MRI at, because something's not right. I hope it's mechanical. They're thinking that he's holding back somehow. Maybe he's afraid of letting go because he might end up hurting his back. I don't know. I really don't know. Maybe he needs a shrink. He needs something because they can't keep throwing him out there and trying to squeeze 3-4 innings out of him to keep the bullpen saved if he's going to be giving up 4 runs. It would have been 5 if it wasn't for that error, so 3 earned. 3 innings pitched, 7 hits, 3 earned, 4 Ks, 5 runs because of the error. So essentially, he gave up 5 runs tonight. That's not good. That's not a quality start. He's supposed to be our number 2. Now, I mean, they took a cyst out of his back, I guess by his spine. And he was supposed to be healed by now. Is he afraid that there's going to be residual pain? I don't know. I honestly don't know. I don't know what his leash should be. But honestly, I kind of like the fact that they got King following him up. It's smart because King is a starter. He can give you 4 innings. I mean, he gave up 2 runs today, but he pitched fairly good today in his relief. He just ran out of steam too, but he damn near threw 60, 70 pitches in his 4 innings. But he got a few strikeouts. What'd he get? Let's see what he got tonight. King, 3 2/3, 2 hits, 2 runs, 2 earned, 4 strikeouts. Not bad. It's not bad, considering. He's a rookie. So, I like to see more King. King, Nelson, these kids are stepping up. And we still got Clark Schmidt waiting in the wings. And maybe he eventually takes the spot of Hap, who has just been garbage. And I don't know what's wrong with him. He's continuing his bad ways from last year. And that's not good. Maybe it's age catching up to him. But it's a 60-game set. And we need... there's very little room for error. I mean, honestly, they're 7-1. Best team in baseball. But in their division, they're like 3 games up on Tampa. That's it. Only 3 games. Feels like a lot more. Baltimore's been doing good, too. Maybe Baltimore's in second now. I don't know. They've been kicking the hell out of everybody lately, which is crazy shocking. Either way, they're 3 games up. That's nothing. These are things they need to take care of. This is why, as Michael Kay always says, winning is a great deodorant. And it masks everything. And I'm not taking away the big 3-game sweep over the Red Sox. Really, honestly, we're supposed to sweep them. If they would have lost 1 game, we all would have blown our fucking top. Of course, that game would have been tonight because of the way Paxton pitched. But you know what? The Red Sox are so bad that they gave us every opportunity to come back and take it. And we did, which is great. That says a lot about our team. We're resilient. This team is locked in. Now, speaking of locked in and resilient, I did a poll, my Savage poll of the week. And my question was, do you got that special feeling in your bones about the Yanks this season? Like something magical will happen. Final percentage was 79% said yes, very much. 21% said no. And see, I can understand it. You would think everybody would say, yeah, obviously, it's the Yankees. We're going to win every year. Not every year feels like it's destiny. You know what I mean? It's kind of hard to the quantifying the words, which is weird being that this is a podcast and that's what I have to do. But I think you get what I'm saying. There's just something about a team. Think about, we'll go back to the 90s. When you just watched that team, you knew that there was no way they were going to lose. And that's kind of how I feel right now about this team. Despite the growing concerns with two of our starting pitchers and our left field platoon. Which eventually I believe it will work itself out. I think somebody will take over and left. I hope. And I believe that our starting pitching will have to get better. Or they're going to make some changes. And the trade deadline's coming up. I'm sure Cash is already thinking about it. But some of the comments on my poll was very interesting too. So I'm going to read that. I'm going to give the shout outs. Chrissy at iHeart, the New York Yankees, NYYS, she wrote, yes, this is the year 100, 100, 100, hashtag 28. I agree 100%. Yankee Chronicles, and give them a follow if you haven't already, and check out their website too. I'm going to give them a shout out because, you know what, we're all family, and we can help each other out. And that's the way it should be. He wrote, we finally have a healthy lineup, and you can see the pressure on opposing pitchers when you see them just making contact rather than swing for the fences. Every swing, it's exciting. We haven't had this in a long time, so we have every reason to think this year is special. He is absolutely right. Absolutely right. I didn't even think about that when he said it. Because I forgot how this team, we ended up winning 100 games last year, but we were hurt, beat up, and it was next man up. Totally nailed it. Tiana at TQUA2CI, something magical like a World Series. I agree. I think that's exactly what this team came to camp. We all know that was the mandate this year. I think they showed up. They're absolutely still pissed about what happened last year in the ALCS. We got Cole, so we got a true ace. Judge looks ready to kill, and everybody's following his lead. Molly Barton at Chef Malls wrote, if your answer isn't yes, can you even really claim to be a Yankees fan? I'm just saying. And I replied back to her. I said, I think some years it's obvious they don't have it, but there's a special feeling in the air. I think the players truly believe, and that started before the COVID, which is true because that was the mandate from spring training. She goes, but even on years when they don't have it as a fan, there's always that hope, at least this early in the season. We're at the equivalent of May or something, right? With the best team in the standings, it's a definite yes for me. She nailed it. She got it right. There's just, we're locked in. Penny W writes, something magical always happens. And I thank you guys for the responses to my poll. I appreciate it. Appreciate the help I get here. All of you guys are absolutely right. The 20% that said no, I think it's because they're skeptic, because we haven't won in 10 years, and I get that. You don't want to set yourself up. But I think it's okay to say it. I think it's okay to feel it. I think it's okay to believe. I think it's okay to walk around a little bit like, you know what? A little confident. We got this. I think it's okay for once. And you look at other teams and they look like shit. The Astros are falling apart and we all love that. The Red Sox are horrible. They're the worst team in this division and it's not even close. They fell apart. Who is our competition in the American League? I can't think of one right now. I mean, who's going to be there at the end? to fight us. Tampa? Well, we have to see. We haven't played them yet. So, weird, interesting thing, and this will be it for the show. But I feel like I need to comment on this because this was taken over Twitter, and it's not the Gary Sheffield Jr. thing. Although I was going to rip him apart, but you know what? Everybody else has ripped him apart on Twitter, and I'm sure he's crying into his daddy's money, and he probably doesn't give a fuck. So we'll move on from him because there was a bigger idiot today, and that would be Cespedes. So earlier today, the Mets tweet out, basically, what to me sounded like an SOS. Like they couldn't find Cespedes. He did not show up to the park in Atlanta. And they were looking for him. Could not get a hold of him. No contact. Wasn't answering his calls. Nothing. Then you hear somebody later on, a few hours later, and this is like halfway during the game. So by then, if you really pay attention to it, the Mets already talked to him. Because it got out that says, oh, his safety is not a concern, which means they talked to him. Well, didn't talk to him, because what we found out an hour or so later was he decided that he was going to opt out of the season. And to me, you just don't walk out on your team like that. And I'm not saying it as if you decide that you want to opt out for safety concerns. Maybe some people on your team are getting sick. Or just the way in general other teams are getting sick. And you're like, you know what? I have to go to these stadiums. I have to play the Marlins. I have to play the Cardinals. Well, I guess they don't have to play the Cardinals this year. But they have to play Miami. That they don't want to deal with that. And I get it. And I'm fine with it. But you don't check out of your hotel room. Grab all your stuff. Not notify the team. Or your teammates, that you decided, I'm going to go home. When MLB security, or the Mets security, has to go to your hotel room to check to see if you're alive, because you're not answering your phones, and you're vanished, and all your shit is gone, something is wrong. So they finally, his agent had to call in, and tell the Mets that, yeah, he's opting out. Now, he's a free agent after this year. There's no way in hell the Mets are bringing him back. So for them, I guess they're like, well, you know what? We saved money. The fans are going to be on our side on this one. There isn't going to be any question that they're bringing him back. But what my problem is that he did this to his teammates. He didn't give anybody a heads up, at least that I know of. It may come out that he did, and then I'll change my story. But for right now, he didn't give anybody a heads up. His own fucking teammates, I mean, these are supposed to be like brothers you go to battle with. Look how close the Yankees are. And then look at the fucking dysfunctional mess that the Mets are. And then you wonder why there's a difference between the two franchises. That shit right there. That doesn't happen in the Bronx. That shit only happens in Queens. And I feel bad for Mets fans. And I have Met friends and family that love the Mets. And I feel so bad for them because it's too late in their lives to switch teams. They're stuck with it. Although, I'm sure they're even considering it. I'll have to check in with them to find out and say, hey, I'll get you the application to be a fan of the Yankees. We'll bring you on trial basis. You have to earn your pinstripes like everybody else. But listen, it's crazy. I mean, it's fucking disrespectful to his team. Like, fuck you guys. Good luck. Now, granted, he hit that one home run, I guess, in opening day, and he hasn't done shit since. But you have to wonder, as an impending free agent this year, or after this year, who's going to sign him? He's been nothing but a pain in the ass, and that's his reputation. For years, since Oakland, Detroit, Boston, the Mets, am I forgetting anybody else? Probably. He has been a pain in the ass, injury prone. Apparently he likes to fight fucking wild boars. how the fuck that happens, I don't even know. But, you know, that's crazy shit. So I just, it's just, is he going to play again? Who is going to give him a contract? And it's going to have to be as a DH. So I don't know if the National League next year is adopting the DH rule. I think this year is a trial run. Not sure about next year, but eventually they will. But that would mean he would have to go to the American League probably for next year if it doesn't carry over. So it eliminates half the teams. Who is going to want him? And he hasn't played in 2 years. He's played, what, six games in 2 years? All six in this year, basically. He's been hurt with surgeries and wild boar attacks. I don't know. This may be the end of him. And again, the real question is, honestly, I mean, I'm sure he has talent that he can, if he really applied himself, he can probably still produce. I mean, who knows what he would have done in the 60 games this year? I guess we'll never know now. But to me, what screams more than anything is his heart is not in it. How can you take it any other way? His heart is not in it. And if your heart is not in it, then you know, maybe he is doing the right thing. He's getting out of the sport. And he used the COVID as a perfect way to get out. And he can blame it on safety and health concerns. And he's got the perfect cover. But honestly, I don't think the COVID had anything to do with it. I think he came back this year. I think he saw he was struggling. He wasn't having fun. The team is a train wreck. And he was like, you know what? I don't want to be here. I'm getting the fuck out. And here's my perfect way to get out. And he gets a prorated salary for it. Because I believe they have to pay him for the year. God bless America, right? That is some crazy shit. This fucking year is just unbelievable. And some people take advantage of it. And that's what it screams like to me. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Let me know. But I don't believe so. I believe unless I hear differently from the Mets or from Cespedes or from teammates, because I feel like if everything I'm saying is true, he's going to get dogged by his own teammates, because I would. What do you care? He's not coming back here anymore. His locker is already cleaned out at Citi Field. Some attendant already boxed up all his shit, and they're shipping it out to him so he doesn't have to set foot in that stadium ever again. What a fucking joke he is. Fucking joke. People would kill to be in his position, and he's got no heart to play. Talent's probably still there, but he's got no heart. And that is, to me, the biggest crime of all and the biggest slap in the face of his teammates. And he couldn't even tell them so. All right, guys. Hey, listen, this COVID thing is no joke. I think I'm going to opt out. That's all he had to do. Yeah, there may have been a discussion about it. I think for the most part, his teammates would have been like, hey, man, safety first. You got to do what you got to do. We got you. No, he couldn't even pick up a phone. He couldn't shoot anybody a text. He had his agent call the team. I don't even know what to say other than he's a fucking joke. And I'm dumbfounded. I've never seen shit like this, but this is a year of shit that nobody's ever seen before. And this just keeps going along with the point of what I keep saying. This may be the toughest year ever in the history of the sport to win a championship. And other than the Astros, because I'm always going to knock the shit out of them, any team that wins this year is truly going to earn it. And hopefully it will be the Yankees. And I think it will. I think, like I said before, I got that special feeling going on in my gut. I think all you do too. At least 71% of you do, and I'm sure more than that. The 20%, they'll catch on soon. They'll see it. Some people take a little longer. We're going to get there. And this is going to be a fun ride as long as we can get through it together. And on that, I will end the show. everybody, as usual, stay healthy. Please subscribe to my show on whatever platform you listen to, wherever you get your shows at. Like, share, comment. Reach me at Twitter at EmpirePod. EmpirePod. Savage Empire Pod is my own fucking name. I can't even get it out. Jesus Christ. Gotta go to bed. Anyway, I love you all, and I appreciate it. And let me say, I did get some extra motivation this week because I did get some feedback, finally. And some people are listening to my shows, and it's nice to know that it's getting out there. You know, I'm trying to build it up, and each week I'm trying to make it better, and I appreciate it. And you guys keep listening, I'll keep doing it. That's a promise. And we'll get there together. And this season is going to be more fun because there's a ring at the end of it. 28. We're coming for it. Everybody have a good night. I'll talk to you after the Philly set. And go Yankees.